Okay, so today's actually let me today's date is Monday, February 19th, 2024, and the time is now 12:33 p.m. And it's been officially more than 24 hours that we have not had heat in our house. I think it was Saturday morning. Early Saturday morning, I noticed it was getting cold in my house. Like, I noticed it was getting cold. And I don't know. I went downstairs to just maybe turn the heat up a little bit, and then I noticed that the heat wasn't actually on. So I immediately started to run water, because obviously everyone knows this, that if your heat is not on, you have to run water so that your pipes don't freeze. But then I went downstairs to figure out like why it wasn't on. So then I went to the circuit breaker box, and I, turned on and off the circuit breaker, and it came back on. So then I went back upstairs because it was like early in the morning. I went back upstairs and I wasn't really asleep, but I wasn't up either. But then I noticed it was getting cold again, so I was like, okay, let me go back downstairs and see what's going on. And then I hit the instead of just hitting that specific circuit breaker, I went through all of them. And it came back on, and then I went back upstairs, and then again, I think it repeated the third time. And the third time, I hit the main breaker, but then I decided to stay downstairs and stay in the basement because I don't like being in that basement. But I do have cameras down there, by the way. But I didn't like being down there, so I stayed down there because I wanted to see like how long it was actually staying going before it cut off. And it just cut off like less than 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes, probably less than 5 minutes. I should have did a count. So I don't know what's going on. I do know that the gas company was parked in front of my house for like on Friday evening, Thursday they were working in on the street on the side of me and on the front. But the bottom line is, the day that they were parked in front, the night that they were parked in front of my house, I think it was Friday night or Thursday night, and I seen two men walking from their car on around the side of the house. But I had heat that whole evening. Like, I had heat that whole evening, and I'm assuming, I don't know when I realized that the heat wasn't on. Actually, I just felt it getting cold in my room. But I feel like I had heat hours after I seen their cars parked out there. So, and the thing is, my assumption is that it has something to do with my electric, because when I turned the circuit breaker on and off, it came back on and then it cut off. Kind of like this doesn't happen in my house, but like back in the day, if you ran a hair dryer and you ran a couple of other things, it would cut off because maybe there was something extra on the power line that shouldn't be on the power line. And that's kind of what I felt. I felt like something, and I could be wrong about that. Like, I really don't know, but I was just like, it's something else running on my heater's power line that is that's making my heater cut off. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, the whole thing is, it is coincidental that the gas company was parked outside my house just the day before, and now I don't have heat. But they weren't at my house. They were doing something else somewhere else. And I had heat way after they left. But I've never had an issue with my heater before. And so these are ha this happens to be the coldest days like so far that we've had in New Kensington, I think, because like it's 17 degrees in my house. It's actually colder in my house than it is outside because my house holds, how can I say, when it's hot in the summer, it's cooler in my house. So if it's whatever the temperature is outside, my house is usually cooler because it's like a tunnel. My house is like a tunnel. Like I don't have, I have only, it's the way it's set up. It's like a tunnel-y type home. But I do have the water running, so that it does, so the water doesn't freeze, and it hasn't so far. But yeah. So I feel a whole lot of different things. I don't I because like the whole thing is things break down, you know, things happen, you know. And so I have to always compartmentalize and know that it could just be a coincidence. I did call the police though and report it. Why did I do that? Because of all the other things that are happening around me, including the fact that someone continues to attack me every day with the biotech, the Allegheny Health Network, snuck in my body. And it's and they seem to always want to target my butthole and my vaginal area. And the whole thing is I've already posted the recording. Whatever you're trying to do to me, it doesn't work anymore. The biotech works. I'm still radioactive from the tips of my toenails to the fibers in my hair. I am still an artificially augmented human. However, the I feel like that target area of my body was one that I felt the whoever's doing that to me knows angers me, and I feel like the goal is like to get me angry. And that's why someone does that. It's like, you know, for control, you know, and agitation. I in the back of my mind, I do feel like I could have been sabotaged. You know, I'm all I things have happened in the past where I feel like, you know, someone sees a single black woman by herself, and I happen to have biotech in my body, so that automatically makes me vulnerable. They, you know, see the desperation that I'm, you know, the desperate situation that I'm in, that I might want to like, you know, I've always felt like there have been times that I've been deliberately sabotaged so that I would become like some damsel in distress. I've never been a damsel in distress my entire life. Never. ever. I don't, I, my son thinks I hate men. He said that this weekend. He was like, you know, you hate men. No, I told my son, I said, I don't hate men. I just hate slimy, controlling, sneaky, fucked up men. Like, I don't hate men. But I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my stepdads. I don't hate them. They actually are good men. My dad was a good man. My stepdad is a great man. My other stepdad is a great man. I mean, they, you know, they've always been kind and loving, and they've always given. They've never tried to control. They've always been honest. I don't hate men, but I do hate when men try to corner, sabotage, control, hurt, intimidate women. And I feel like, I don't know. I always, even, it's hard to say this now, but like, because of, no, I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna leave that out. But I feel like, I will probably end up falling in love with what how a man thinks and how he moves rather than how he looks or how much money he has. I've always felt like I could make just as much money as my partner. I've always, even when I was going through my divorce, I wasn't, my mom wanted me to stay married that full 10 years. She probably gave me her best advice, and now that I haven't remarried, she probably was right. But I didn't care because I at that time I was I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna use the word arrogant, but I was very confident in myself. I felt like I was young, smart. I had a lot of plans, things that I wanted to do. I felt like if it doesn't work, I'll be fine. You know, I had the money when I entered the relationship, and I still had the career and job when I left the relationship. So it was what I did have though, extra with me, additional was three kids, and it made it very difficult for me to move the way that I was used to moving with three very small children on my own. And I think even with my marriage, I think I would have stayed just because I didn't want to raise my kids by myself. I was raised in a single family household until I was 16, and I didn't want my kids to be raised without their father. But my husband was really like, at some point it was like he was like my friend. Like sometimes we slept in separate bedrooms because he snored too loud. So it was like we were like friends, business partners, and then we became like lovers, and then it was like all about the kids. And you know, we never really broke up. It's like we never had that talk. It was just it was always based on circumstances and conditions on how we moved, how we operated. And I wasn't really sad when we broke up either. I didn't really care. I just wanted to make sure that he was going to help me take care of my kids, his kids. And I feel like I'm a different kind of breed, you know, so I hate when men try to deliberately sabotage and control women. And I feel like this biotech in my body, you know, what it does to me, how it was snuck in my body, how it's been used on me, and the pain that it causes me at times, often seems kind of like controlling and manipulating. And I just, you know, regardless of all the other things that I say about what this biotech is, what it does, what it's capable of, it still can be used that way. And someone still tries to use it that way. So it's like, you can't break my body with the biotech. You have caused me so much pain, so you try to break my environment. So I do feel like, and then you try to break my finances. You know, you're trying to break me. Now, I did sleep in later. Someone will look in and say, she's depressed. I don't know if I am or not. I just feel like if I had the money that I'm owed for what was snuck in my body, I can make moves. And I was watching Sisters. The question was asked, you know, like, how did you meet him? And she was like, at work, right? And then in my mind, I was thinking, just a side thought because of the circumstances around that question. I was like, I can meet people decorating my house. I can meet people landscaping my property. I can meet people in my daily transactions and whatever I'm doing. But I don't want to meet people as a slave. I'm not going to meet people as a slave. I'm not going to meet people, you know, and I feel like someone is trying to make me desperate and condition my environment so that I move in the direction that they want me to move in. And I'm like, you've misused and abused me with this biotech in my body. And I have no desires to move in the direction that I think you want me to move in. I do have desires to get paid restitution in the millions for violating my human and civil rights, for using biotech on me to burn my skin, vibrate my body, twist my ligaments. And then, like I said, whatever else I do, you know, I'll do it on my own. And I think I'll meet people along the way. Because when I used to, before, I've had multiple lives, believe it or not. I'm only 46, but I feel like I've lived a couple of different lives. But at one point, I was a real estate investor, and I had fun doing that. At one point, I owned like 6 or 7 homes at the same time, some by myself, some with my husband. I bought and I sold them. Some of them I rehabbed. And I met a lot of people during that time, and I made friends. Work friends, not, you know, but it was a fun life. I was making money, I was working, and I was doing whatever I wanted to do. And that's how I feel like that's how I am. And I was a teacher, believe it or not. I taught in public schools. I taught in New Jersey public schools. I taught in the counties in Pennsylvania public schools. I taught in a private school in Philadelphia. So I feel like I've done a couple of things in my life, but the whole thing is I was free. No one told me what to do, told me how to do it, tried to control me. And the thing is, someone is constantly, and someone might say, well, we're not trying to do that now, but you are, because the biotech plays interference in all of my daily activities. And for that, I feel like my government owes me millions. And then, you know, I published my manuscript. I've been told no one's read my manuscript. I don't believe that. I said that in my previous recording. I published my podcast. I've been told less than 100 people have listened to my podcast. I don't believe that. So, you know, I always say journalists get paid. People who write books get paid. People who podcast get paid. I said that a lot of my words from my recordings and my manuscripts are in movies. I should be getting paid for that. You know, like these issues that I'm having right now are like, you know, I don't even, like, I'm probably going to call the gas company, right? But I have all these reservations about it. Like, one, I feel like I've been sabotaged. Two, I feel like it's a way for them to get in my house. But I didn't have a problem calling them when someone stuffed a white t-shirt down my drain and I had to call the plumber out. And it was a white man. I like telling these stories because these stories make me not racist. These stories make me not hate people, make me not hate white people, make me not hate black people. I never have, though. I've always been like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a child of my era. I was born in 1977. I was not born. I went to Catholic school. It wasn't a whole lot of black people in the schools that I went. I've also went to an all black school for middle school. I went to an all black middle school, and then my mom sent me to Catholic school where there was only a few M&Ms in the bunch, you know. But I've never been like racist, you know, but I know that racism exists. And I know that some people have a mentality of racist. But I also, like I said, I feel like white people can be racist and everyone else that's not white can be biased. And to me, they the same shoe size. Like when you think about how it plays itself out and the tactics that are used and the things that people do when they're biased versus racist, it's the same shoe size. So, someone stuffed a white t-shirt down my drain this summer and I had to get an oxygen mask to put on my face because it was this scent coming through my vents and I didn't know what it was and I couldn't sleep at night. It's not even an oxygen mask. It's because the oxygen mask provides oxygen. It was a more elaborate face mask, you know. It wasn't like the ones that we were wearing during COVID. I mean, it has these filters that you can stick inside of it. It sits up high on your face. It pretty much looks like an oxygen mask, but I had to buy one this summer because there's no vents on the third floor. So my daughters weren't exposed to it because there's no vents that go up on the third floor, but the vents go through the second and the first floor. So I couldn't breathe at night and I didn't know what was going on and I had to call the plumbing company out and he found a white t-shirt in my drain and he didn't charge me for it. You know, he did the whole snake thing, you know, with the, you know, apparatus he had and he pulled out a very long, thick white t-shirt that was causing my basement to clog. And this was around the same time that my daughter was in a play. She was SpongeBob's girlfriend, the computer. So she was SpongeBob's girlfriend, the computer, in a high school play. No, I'm sorry, not SpongeBob's girlfriend, the computer. She was Plankton's girlfriend, the computer. And if you see how the play goes, I said that when I was in the second row with my family, my mom, my stepdad, my sister, during the play, someone literally kept attacking me with the biotech. They were stabbing me in the back of my head, burning me in the back of my head, doing all kinds of stuff. And everything they did to me correlated with the two white men that were sitting in front of me that had the little girl that was like dancing around. I mean, I probably will repost this record. Like, this recording is in real time, but I did a recording about this already so if I post another recording again, just know that I'm doing this one in real time, but I did a recording back then where I said the same things, but it was two white men sitting in front of me looking like they was from Open Season. And they had a little white girl that was could she had ants in her pants. She couldn't sit down, but she was little. And every time they did something to their body, like if they moved it and touched their head, they aired, then someone sitting behind me used the biotech to do the same thing to me, right? And I'm used to that kind of stuff. Like, I know how to ignore it. I definitely was going to ignore it for my daughter's play, but I feel like they wanted a response from me. So then they tried to use the biotech to choke me. And then I asked my mother for her water or her drink, and I, drank it to try to like stop myself from really choking, gagging loud because I was so close to the stage. And you will see like a tear come out of my eye during that whole time. But at all at the same time, my stepdad was here for for the play. He had to go to Lowe's and buy one of those wet vacs because he had to wet vac. The basement exploded with shit the day that they, like, either the day that they came for the play or after, or the day before they came with the play. And my stepdad, this is what I'm telling you about my stepdads. My stepdads are like the most beautifulest, wonderfulest men in the world, but they're not rich. They don't have a lot of money. But what my stepdad did for me, he wet vac the whole basement. He cleaned up all the shit on my floor by himself with a wet vac. He went back and forth from the basement outside, and he made it in time for my daughter's play for SpongeBob. He made it in time for the play. And we didn't know what was going on, like how what was causing this issue. And he even stopped the water because it was like water gushing from somewhere. We didn't know where it was coming from. I tried to figure it out. He figured it out. He got it to stop. But it's still, even after he left, my basement floor was completely clean, clear. And a few days after he left, my basement floor exploded with shit again. And so I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I had to call the plumbing people out. And he and this white guy, he did the snake on my basement floor. And he found a white t-shirt in there. And he didn't charge me. Like, I was supposed to pay for that. He's just like, never mind, you don't have to pay. And that was the end of it. And he left. And that happened, this happened last May. Yeah, because that's when my daughter's play was. It was like either May or April. And if you read my manuscript, there's some things in there pertaining to the biotech in my body that, I'm not going to say. I probably did say it in my other recordings, my audio recordings, what the issues were. But the whole the alignment of it, I didn't want to ruin. First of all, my daughter was so excited about this play. Let me tell you, she was so excited about this play. My daughter, she can sing really good. She can sing Ella Fitzgerald, she can sing Judy Garland, she can even sing Barbra Streisand. She can and she can play the flute. And the clarinet and the saxophone. So she was excited about this play, and she didn't care what part she got. She was happy to be Plankton's girlfriend because she was alongside her friend. His name is Trey, and Trey is got the same name as my son, who is Trey, but this is a different Trey. So Trey was Plankton, and Maya was his girlfriend, the computer. However, I'm happy for my daughter. If she's happy, she wanted a part. She's been in a lot of different plays at the high school, and she's been in a pageant, and she's done a lot of different things. She's performed live at this thing called the Jam Session when she was little here where we live at. So, I'm never going to, I try my best not to allow these adult issues with this biotech to interfere with children's issues. It's sometimes hard because a lot of times, like someone attacked me at my daughter's play. They didn't give a fuck. They didn't give a fuck about the kids on the stage. They didn't give a fuck about the little girl sitting in front of me. They just did not care. So, you know, but I cared. I ignored it. I wasn't about to embarrass my daughter, even though, you know, she doesn't really appreciate me because life has been hard. You know, like, we have cold water. You know, she doesn't like this whole thing about this biotech in my body. She can't stand hearing about it. She's angry about how our lives have gone. And she's frustrated. So she doesn't have anyone to blame but me, her mother. So yeah, anywho. So I'm going to call, I guess I'll call the gas company. But I didn't call them initially because I really didn't think it would have anything to do with the gas, even though the gas company was outside my house the night before. You would think that I would think that, but I didn't, because when I would hit the circuit breaker, it would come back on. So I felt like it had something to do with the electric, you know, because it would come on and then turn off. That's never happened before, though. I've never had that issue with the... I've never had that happen before. So we have these space heaters. It's freezing in my house. We hardly have any money, but I have biotech in my body, and someone does continue to attack me with the biotech. And I literally feel like, I don't know. I just feel like, give it up. Stop it. Like, I know that's not going to work. Because I really just feel like you want my body. I use the term, I felt like you were trying to icebox me, you know, because like, how do you preserve organs, right? You preserve organs by putting them in what? An icebox, right? And that's what my house is right now. It's an icebox. I hardly have any money. Someone is attacking me with the biotech. And now we have no heat and it's freezing. And yet I'm still not ready to kill myself. Somebody else probably is like, I would. And it's been quite humiliating. And my daughter hates me. On top of it, she says the meanest things to me but I feel like hurt people. She's hurting because everything is very frustrating. And it is. It's very frustrating. And I don't know if the average person can kind of put up with this, you know? So, yeah, that's the end of this recording.